From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues the second message in a series based on Psalm 138. The text is the opening phrase of verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple. In this day of worship experiences, Dr. Cairns seeks to call God's people back to Christ-centered worship, as it is set forth in the Bible. The text defines true biblical worship, which, as we've seen, is our response to who God is. In the light of God's majesty and holiness, true worshipers must be characterized by deep humility. Then the text denotes the way to worship. The psalmist worshipped toward God's holy temple, that place which in its every part typified the Lord Jesus Christ. So our worship is to be toward Christ. Dr. Cairns will come to the message in just a couple of minutes. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Enemies at Peace. The text is Proverbs 16 and verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I must see that my ways please the Lord. Even then I shall have enemies, and perhaps all the more certainly, because I endeavor to do that which is right. But what a promise this is! The Lord will make the wrath of men to praise him, and abate it, so that it shall not distress me. He can constrain an enemy to desist from harming me, even though he has a mind to do so. This he did with Laban, who pursued Jacob, but did not dare to touch him. Or he can subdue the wrath of the enemy and make him friendly, as he did with Esau, who met Jacob in a brotherly manner, though Jacob had dreaded that he would smite him and his family with the sword. The Lord can also convert a furious adversary into a brother in Christ and a fellow worker, as he did with Saul of Tarsus. Oh, that he would do this in every case where a persecuting spirit appears. Happy is the man whose enemies are made to be to him what the lions were to Daniel in the den, quiet and companionable. When I meet death, who is called the last enemy, I pray that I may be at peace. Only let my great care be to please the Lord in all things. Oh, for faith and holiness, for these are a pleasure unto the Most High.
Oh, creatures of our God and King,
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Worship is the response of the heart to God, what He is, what He has done, what He is doing, what He has promised, and especially in and through the merits and person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever our circumstances, be we young or old, in good health or poor health, be we in a time of revival or in a time of spiritual drought, our God is the same. The Psalm 100 says in verses 3 and 4, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name." Habitually, continually, daily, and indeed, as we breathe, so let us worship. I will worship continually. But the word that David uses here that's translated worship is a very interesting term, because it is a word that simply means I will bow myself down. I will prostrate myself toward thy holy temple. And that verb shows us something of the real meaning of worship. The context of our text tells us that worship includes praise, thanksgiving, and prayer. It includes these elements of Christian service. But the verb tells us a whole lot more, because it's a word that speaks of deep humility and self-abnegation. I will bow myself down. That's a word that denotes such a recognition of God's holiness, of God's mercy, of His truth, and of His majesty, as convicts us of our own unworthiness. Let me tell you, there is no such thing as sauntering thoughtlessly into the presence of God. When you hear preachers either preaching or praying with flippancy as they address or speak about God, they are far from God's presence. When you hear yourself even uttering light things, speaking of God in mere trashy, empty, sentimental terms that have no recognition of the awful majesty and overwhelming glory of God, you are far from God's presence, no matter what emotions you may feel. Let us understand this. There is here a deep and terrible emptying of the heart, a prostration not only of the body, but of the mind and the heart and the will and the soul. Because in this conviction, we are taking our place before God as humble suppliants who are totally dependent upon Him and surrendered to His will. As we prostrate ourselves before God, we are confessing we have nothing, we are nothing apart from grace, and our cry is unto our God. We are expressing our thankfulness for all that He has said, for all that He has done, and we are stating our willingness to hear what He still has to say. And we're stating our willingness to receive what He has to give. He is on the throne. We are on our faces before Him. That's the meaning of the word that David uses. And that is the fundamental meaning of worship. It's an approach to God that fully recognizes our position as sinful creatures, unworthy creatures, in relation to Him, the Almighty Creator and gracious Redeemer. I do not often quote William Temple, one time Archbishop of Canterbury, many ways a very ecumenical compromiser, so I do not often quote William Temple. But one thing he said about worship, I think, deserves to be recognized as true. He said, worship is the submission of all our nature to God. It is the quickening of conscience by His holiness. The nourishment of mind with His truth. The purifying of the imagination by His beauty. The opening of the heart to His love. The surrender of the will to His purpose. This is worship. And that's what our text is doing. It's defining worship in this way. Time forbids that I pursue that and do the reference that I had thought of doing further to Isaiah 40. Another time, perhaps. The second thing our text does in relation to worship is it denotes the way to worship. David says, I will worship toward thy holy temple. The preposition toward carries with it the idea of movement toward, a turning toward, so that we could well translate this, I will worship turning to or facing thy holy temple. Now, ever since the days of Moses, the Lord had appointed a place for the children of Israel to sacrifice, to worship, and to meet with Him. We were reading this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 12. You could read something similar in chapter 14, chapter 16, chapter 18. You can go on here. This is a message that's repeated again and again and again in the book of Deuteronomy. But we were reading verse 5, that unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put His name there, even unto His habitation shall ye seek, and thither shall ye come. Verse 6, there you bring your burnt offerings, etc. And verse 7, there shall you eat before the Lord and rejoice in all that you put your hand to. In other words, this is a place for the people to come. Verse 10 through 14 re-emphasizes this. When you get over Jordan, there is a place. Now look at verse 14. In the place which the Lord shall choose in one of your tribes, there shalt thou offer thy burnt offering. Now, this was a command that Moses gave, and it's a command that he enabled the children of Israel to fulfill. They didn't always fulfill it, mind you, but he made it possible for them to do so. First of all, he set up the tabernacle in the wilderness. Then when they moved into the land, the tabernacle was established at Shiloh. And then later on, of course, Solomon built the temple according to the plan that the Lord had given to David his father. And that was the house that God said is my place and I will put my name there. Now, this was a truth that was deeply etched into the consciousness of every devout and godly Israelite. I'm sure you've read in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah's great prayer before the Lord for the well-being of Jerusalem. And in verse 9 he's saying, remember thy word through Moses. If ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place which I have chosen to set my name there. In other words, Nehemiah could never forget that the Lord had not left the Jews to their own devices. That he had actually set a place and says, it's my place. That's the place of my dwelling. That is peculiarly my temple. It's interesting that that very same word, that's the usual word for temple, is used in about 15 places of the palace of a king. Solomon used it regarding his palace. And I don't think it's pressing it too far to say God set up His temple, first in a mere tent in the wilderness, then at Shiloh, and then on that place that was once Ornan's threshing floor. where Solomon built the great temple of glory, that was the palace of the King of Heaven as he dwelt upon the earth. He says, it's my place. It's my place. And he denoted that in a wonderful way. If you ever visit London, you will always know whether Her Majesty the Queen is in residence at Buckingham Palace. Or if you go out to Windsor, you'll know if she's in residence at Windsor. Why? Because when she is there, the flag is flying and it tells the world, the monarch is in residence. When you go to the tabernacle in the wilderness and all the way through to the temple, there was a flag flying, much better than a flag. There was the Shekinah glory of God, and he was telling the world, this is my palace, this is my house, this is my place. The Jews could never forget that. That was the awesome thought that filled the mind of David as he wrote the words of our text. This is God's dwelling place. And he says, I will turn and I will face the dwelling place of God. And with my face toward God and His glory among us, I will worship Thee. Now that place, that house, typified the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that because the Bible says so explicitly. In Psalm 29 verse 9, if you've got a marginal reading in your Bible, you'll see a literal translation of the Hebrew text there. And I must say, it's a translation that I think we should adopt. It is the literal rendering of the words, and it says, every whit of it, and the it is His temple. Every whit of it uttereth His glory. That's what makes a study of the temple or of the tabernacle in the wilderness such a fascinating study. Because we do have scripture to tell us that while we must always be chaste in using our imagination, the scripture itself will show that down to the smallest details of the tabernacle, God's dwelling among men, you have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every whit of it uttereth His glory, the latter part of 29:9 in the book of Psalms. We have even further proof in John chapter 1 verse 14. We read that the Word was made flesh and dwelt. The Word is tabernacled among us. He is the tabernacle of God among men. In John chapter 2, when the Lord Jesus spoke about destroying this temple, He meant His body. He says, I am the temple. He is the Emmanuel, God with us. He is God's dwelling among men. So when David says, I will worship toward Thy holy temple, a Christian understands that I'm worshiping with my eyes and with my face toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.